Father, we ask for your fullness of joy to be able to be manifested in our lives. Lord, I ask that the truth of this passage would come home to each one of us. Let us know what it is like to experience fullness of joy. Let us know what it is like to abide in your love. Let us know what it is like to abide in your commandments and abiding in Christ. And Lord, I pray that the life that you have intended to give to us, both eternal life and life here and now, would come to us. Let the connection between this truth and prayer and bearing fruit be manifest in the lives of your people. Let this year be a year of fruit bearing for us as a people, us as a church, for us as individuals. And Lord, I pray that you would keep the enemy from confusing us about what this means and about how it is manifested in our lives. So God, let your word bear fruit in our lives. Let us be in submission to this text, to the truths that are spoken here. Lord, you told your disciples that if we know the truth, that it is the truth that will set us free. And if we are living under misunderstanding about all that this means, would you free us this morning? Would you let your truth be clear? Would you, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear? Would you strengthen our souls? We come to you and look to you. We come like little children with our expectant eyes, Lord, that you would fill our souls. So I ask you to please help me in delivering this message and help us to hear what you would have us hear. Lord, we have complete faith through your Spirit that when your people come together that you're here with us. And I thank you for the promise that we can sense your Spirit. So God, minister to our souls and let us be encouraged by this word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. There's a connection with this text that we just read and what we took a look at last week. Last week we focused on a passage in John 16:24. The verse that captured our attention was, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name." And Jesus says, "Ask and you will receive," meaning ask in my name and you will receive so that your joy may be full. Has anybody in the history of the world ever give instructions that you pray to God through a particular name so that your prayers would be answered, so that your joy may be full? Never happened in history. Jesus is the only person who ever tells people to pray in my name so that your prayers would be answered, so that your joy would be full. And when you hear someone say, "You want to pray to God, you pray in my name," that's staggering. Well, it makes me say, Jesus said what? We pray to the Father in his name? What's so special about him? We hit a few things last week. And yet this connection between praying and asking and receiving and fullness of joy is all wrapped up here. And last week I also said we want to focus on prayer at the beginning of a new year, hopefully because habits can be established. You can lean into a new habit, a new expression of praying. And because my goal in all of this is that we would experience the fullness of joy that Jesus has intended for us here. That we see, he says, "Your joy may be full." That's what I'm aiming at. He says something very similar here in John 15. He says, "I'm telling you these things so that your joy, that my joy would be in you and that your joy would be full." That's our goal, is maximizing or magnifying your personal experience of joy in Jesus through prayer. That's the way God intends to communicate this fullness of joy, is through answering prayers that you have prayed according to the name of Jesus, so that your joy would be full. In other words, God wants you coming to him so that your joy would be full. He doesn't want you going elsewhere for your joy to be full, but coming directly to him. And that coming is in his name. And so we looked at, what does that mean to pray in the name of Jesus? We saw a few things. It means to pray according to his authority. It means to pray in line with his character and all of who he is, to pray according to his mission and for the glory of his Father. Those are the things that we pointed out of what that means to pray in the name of Jesus. It does not necessarily mean tacking on a little phrase at the end of your prayer. It means praying in accordance with all of who Jesus is and what he lived for and all that he accomplished through his perfect life, his atoning death, and his victorious resurrection. Coming to God through him, according to all that he has done and who he is, that's the way God wants us to pray. So we need to pray with our minds wide open, understanding who Jesus is. So praying in his name was the focus of last week. And that's the first step, one step in this fullness of joy, which is what we're shooting for in prayer. Jesus here, in this passage that we've just read, he tells us there's something else you need to know. He said this just a little bit before, the passage we looked at last week, but it's the focal verses here are John 15, 7 and 8. I'm just going to read them once again, because he unfolds something else we need to know in order to have fullness of joy and have our prayers answered. And he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done with you for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. There's that connection again with glorifying God. In prayer, if the goal of the prayer ought to be to bring glory to God, pray massive, large, God-glorifying prayers. That's the focus here. It's also connected with, this is just what God's people do. Right? He says, so you prove to be my disciples if this is the way you pray, if this is how you live, this is what my people do. They abide in me and pray. And what's the point? Fruit bearing. Prayer is intended to deliver fruit to you and through your life, to you to be communicating a fruit-bearing lifestyle through the name of Jesus to the glory of God to everyone around you. That's the purpose that we see prayer is intended to bring about, bearing much fruit, and so truly demonstrate to be his disciple. But the condition that that stands upon is what we see in verse 7. And this is what I pray that you won't let go of until you get it. You ever go to a class and you just don't get a concept? Anybody ever go to math class and just kind of struggle with math? This week I was talking to the guy who's doing the drywall, and we were talking about how he had did this the stage back here, because it's angled. I'm like, how do you get that so perfectly angled? And he said, we had to go back and do a little trigonometry. I had to go do some research and figure out how to do that. And so as we were talking and sharing, I said, there's things I'm slow to get. That's one of them. And it reminded me of my dad tried forever to teach me how to use a tape measure. Unsuccessfully, I should say. He forever tried to help me to understand it. I just couldn't get it. Growing up, we always doing little projects, doing this and that. And I just, son, cut this, 8 1/16 of an inch. And I don't know what it means, Dad. He'd show me. I couldn't get it. I got it when I was in college, just after college, as a matter of fact. I went to Alaska as a volunteer youth minister, and the church we were working with was framing out the inside of the church building. So half of my time was spent hanging drywall. And one day, as I was looking at this tape measure, which is like looking at Japanese or something, all of Dad's lessons sort of came back to me. Do you ever have one of those moments of enlightenment? It was wonderful. I understood an eighth of an inch and a 16th of an inch. All of his words came to me. I got so excited. Time difference. So I ran it. As soon as I got home that night, I called him up and I said, Dad, I finally got it. After all these years, I know how to use a tape measure. And he laughed and he said, well, I guess you're not so quick, are you? Whatever it means, I felt affirmed by that comment, just so you know. It didn't devastate me too badly. Hang on to this concept of what it means to abide in Christ. That's my goal this morning, is for you to get a hold of this. I'm going to try my best to explain a few verses of what it means. But if you don't get it, don't give up. Keep pressing on to figure out, to say, I want to know what this means. If abiding in Christ and having his words abide in me is the condition upon which asking and receiving comes about in all of the gospel intentions of bearing fruit and giving glory to God. Then cling to it, wrestle with it, pray it through, ask for help, talk about it, but don't let go of this. Don't let go of this truth, because what does it bring about? Fullness of joy in Jesus. That's God's intention. Look at verse 11 of what with the passage we just read, John 15:11. He said, "These things I'm telling you, I've spoken to you, that my joy would be in you and that your joy would be full." Don't let go of this until you begin to have a taste of that fullness of joy, of all that God intends for you to experience. We run everywhere to get joy. This invitation is cling to Jesus, struggle through, press through to know what this means, abiding in me and his words abiding in us, so that you ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So we know, praying in his name, in accordance with his character, according to his will, all of that means. But this also needs to play out in our lives, because joy is where we're headed. So what does this mean? What does this mean, abiding in Jesus and having his words abide in us? Well, it's not incredibly difficult. What does the word abide mean? It simply means to stay in the same place. It means to be remain put, to keep on, to keep in a place where you are. So you stay, you reside there. The opposite is to leave or to go away. So to abide in Christ is to remain in him, to keep on believing in him, to be consistent in putting your faith and your trust in him. It means to continue with him and not go anywhere else. So Jesus gives us a little hint, a little illustration of what this means in something that he said during the Feast of Booths, which is one of the calls to come back to Jerusalem. The crowds were gathering. It's the last day of the festival, of the feast. And in the middle of the ceremony, Jesus stands up and he says something. John 7, 37 to 38. On the last day of the feast, the great day, the high day, the one that everybody's paying attention to, Jesus stood up and he cried out. And listen to what he said. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Whoever believes in me, out of him will flow rivers of living water. So Jesus was calling people to a belief in himself. Many did believe. Many did believe in him that moment based upon what he was saying. But Jesus also knew when people come to believe in him, there are levels of belief. People believe different things about him. This is still true today. You ask people, what do you believe about Jesus? You're going to get a wide range of answers. Some of them believed he's a prophet. He's a really important guy. He's special. Others believed he was the Christ. There are levels of belief. And so Jesus, as time unfolds here, we move on into chapter 8, he tells them something because he wants there to be in the lives of these people saving belief. There can be a kind of belief in Jesus that is not a saving belief. You have to know this. And so Jesus says, how do we know what saving belief is? And he tells us in John 8, 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." Saving belief is an abiding belief. Being a true disciple means you continue. The faith continues. You keep on believing. You keep on trusting in him. So there are levels of belief. What do you believe? And will you continue to believe it? He says, abide in my teaching and continue in me so that your faith will be evident and manifest. Because Jesus knew there will be times when things will get tough and people will walk away from him. And this we see is exactly what happened. As Jesus began to speak and teach about who he was, who exactly he was, people got offended about what he said and they left him. This particularly happened when Jesus began unfolding what the sacrifice that he would offer in his own body. When he began saying, eternal life only comes about when you put your faith in what I will do on the cross. He was speaking before the cross, so it wasn't a clear picture. But he said, I'm going to offer up my body and my blood. And if you don't receive what I do with my body and my blood, you're not going to have eternal life. What's the answer to that? If you don't receive my body and my blood, you will not have eternal life. Well, Jesus knew how to turn a crowd away. John chapter 6, verse 60. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And in verse 66, after this, many of his disciples, right? They turned back and no longer walked with him. What that means is they had a misunderstanding about who he truly was. They believed something about Jesus. They followed him, but their faith was not an abiding faith. It wasn't a saving faith. So they left. They took off. They did not abide. They didn't remain. Jesus is helping us understand what it means to abide in him. It means to continue in his teaching. So abiding is not some mystical experience. How many of you have grown up, if you've heard this language, this verse, you might think, I don't know what it's supposed to be. What is abiding? What does that mean? Is something fantastic and emotional and mystical and spiritual supposed to happen? No. It's simply believing the truth of all that Jesus has taught and following it. It means obeying him. And John gives us a very helpful understanding of this. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, Jesus says, whoever keeps his commandments, and this is John saying about Jesus, whoever keeps his commandments abides in him. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And this we know, that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given. When we put our faith in Jesus and we receive his teaching, when we call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, and we say, wash my sins away, cleanse me, when we put our faith in Jesus, he gives us his Spirit. His Holy Spirit is the means by which he abides in us. And we abide in him, how? By how? By keeping his commandments. Obedience is the means by which we abide in Christ. Do you see that? I want everybody in the room to get that. It's not a mystical experience. It's walking in obedience to every command. That's how we abide in the Lord Jesus. So if you asking yourself, how can I abide in Christ? The first question is, you have to say, do you have the Holy Spirit? The question I'm asking is, I need your Spirit. It's the last half of verse 24 in John chapter 3, 1 John 3. Do you know you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you? Is he abiding in you? You got to deal with that question first. And then secondly, which is ask and you'll receive. Peter said, when he was preaching on the day of Pentecost, when everyone discovered they had, as Peter said, you've killed the author of life. And they said, what do we do? What's his answer? Repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Repentance, turning to God, turning away from sin, and you receive the Holy Spirit. That's his Spirit abiding in us. And then now what do we do? Once we have begun in Christ, how do we continue? We walk obediently. We abide in his commandments. We continue to do and act upon what we know. So first question, we have to know his commandments. The first part of abiding in Christ is you've got to know what his commands are. Where do you find his commands? Or on an app? I beg you. The good thing about cell phones is the whole Bible, it's right here. It's so thin, fits right in your pocket. You always have it with you. right? You need to soak yourself in God's Word. That's why we have Bible reading plans. Get it, the ESV app will read to you while you're driving in traffic. It will turn an incredibly frustrating experience into a joyful sense of abiding in Christ. Right? Listen as you drive to work. Somebody just shared with me a while back, said that this app is great. I've started listening. It was Brett. You shared it in your testimony, right? He's got 3.5 hours driving to New York. Pray for that guy, right? And so he started listening to Scripture along the way, soaking in God's Word. I'm glad he's not reading while he's driving, right? But find some way to get God's Word in your mind. And don't let go of that. Read, know His commands. That's the first step in abiding in Christ, is knowing what He has said. And then what do you do with that? You just listen? No, Brett's not just listening. He's obeying. We want to follow that command. We're going to obey what we know. We're going to hear, and then we're going to obey, because there are blessings that come from obeying. So a couple of examples. What Jesus said captured my heart, what he said at the Feast of Booths. Here's something he said, a fact, right? He said, "If you come to me, let everyone who thirsts come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as the scripture was said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." You know, Jesus is inviting you to come to him to have your soul satisfied. That's what he's saying. How do you act upon that? In other words, you've got to first believe he can give you something. You've got to trust the words that he has spoken. And then the next question is, will you go to him? And how do you do that? So we're hearing, we know his commands. What is the command? Come to me and drink. What is the action that is then, if we're going to abide in Christ and obedience is obeying those commands, what do you then do? You go to him and say, "I'm thirsty, give me something to drink." Whatever that means, I'm needy, I'm empty, I need to be filled. I'm confused, Jesus, you have the wisdom, so this is prayer. This is what we're talking about. This going to God and asking for him to fill us. So we hear a command, then we act on it. We know what he said, we believe it, and then receive it. Can you do that this year? Can you say, "I'm aching for something. My heart is missing. It feels like I'm not satisfied. There is a thing within my soul that I can't get words for. This void, this gap that I don't know where to how to fill it." What would Jesus say? Come to me. Keep coming to me. So that's our response. That's abiding in him. It's having his words in our mind and then letting that affect how we live. That's one example of coming to him. And here's what he says in Matthew 11. You know this verse. "Come to me, all of you who are weary," or "all of you who are laboring and you're heavy burdened, and I will" what? "I will give you rest." Spiritual rest. You'll find rest for your souls. "Take my yoke upon you, on you, and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Abiding in Christ means knowing his words, believing them, and then obediently acting on them. That's what abiding means. And Jesus says, if you're abiding in me, and my words are abiding in you, you're continuing to walk obediently according to my teaching, what happens to your prayer life? Ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. Meaning, his words will govern your desires. If his words are in us, we're not going to pray contrary to them. They're going to inform how we pray. And the result will be, prayers will be answered, and immense joy will come. Fullness of joy will be given to you. And Jesus says in John 13:7, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." There are great blessings that come if you live according to this promise. So how do we do this? Another way to do this? How do you get God's word in your head? You know it. How do you continue to remain in it? You're obediently following in it, but I want to commend to you memorization of Scripture. Memorize Scripture. At all costs, I believe this year is the year for you to memorize Scripture. How many of you are good at memorizing? Okay, we were talking about this in Sunday school class. If we were to begin over pizza after lunch, we just sit and hang out, and we're going to start quoting our favorite movie lines, how many of us can prove we can memorize some stuff? We were laughing. I think I've got like Monty Python's Holy Grail is embedded in my brain from years ago. It's there forever, right? I don't recommend going and memorizing that, but point is, we can memorize. And if you can listen again and again to Scripture, you'll get it. You'll get it. Memorize it. Because it is through God's Word, abiding in our thinking, permeating our mind, that our souls are nourished. How many of you have been blessed by memorizing a Scripture and it comes back to you in a moment and you find great strength? I thought of one in my life over the past year and a half that continually comes to me again and again. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by water, who sends out its roots by the stream. And he doesn't fear when the heat comes." Right, because his leaves are always green. And it's not anxious when the year of drought, because it does not cease to bear fruit. That has blessed my soul so many times. Because when I feel barren and empty and fruitless, I go to that. It comes to my mind. Because what it says is there's a supernatural outflowing of life to that tree, because what? It says, you'll be like a person who never ceases to bear fruit. And what do we see in that passage we just read a few minutes ago? The purpose of prayer is bearing fruit. And what does Paul tell us about praying? Don't stop. Always remain in a spirit of prayer. So memorize Scripture. Just get one passage, a couple little verses, and cling to it again and again. Share them with one another. I encourage you, share what verses are blessing you so we can kind of help each other learn some passages to memorize. But this year, dwell on God's Word, because abiding in His Word, abiding in His promise, also, Jesus says in this passage, is a means by experiencing God's love. John 15, 10 and 11. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might be in you and that your joy may be full." If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just like I have kept my Father's commandments and I have abided in his love. That ought to make obedience exceedingly compelling to us and not burdensome. Because if you hear, "obey me," that can sometimes sound like a heavy command. This is what you have to do. But if you hear, "if you love me, you'll obey me. If you obey what I've commanded you, you're going to be walking in my love. You're going to be experiencing my love." That's attractive to me. I want to know what that means, that attractive experience of love, and it leads to what? Fullness of joy. So, there's only one point to this sermon. If fullness of joy is what God intends to you, for you to experience, and that happens when you pray and He answers, and the way to get your prayers answered is by abiding in Him, in His Word abiding in us, then you know the point of the sermon. You know what the invitation is. Fill your mind with His Word, then obey it. That will effect a fruitful prayer life, which will bring fullness of joy. So if you want to experience joy, if you want to experience a prayer life where your prayers are answered, abide in the Lord. Obey His commands. And right now, I just want to ask you to pray. Lord, is there any way, as we close, I want you to pray, is there any way I'm not obeying you? Is there anything in my life that I'm doing that I know is disobedient to your will? If it is, I want you to repent of it. So in just a minute, I'm just going to ask you, let's just go ahead. Let's just bow your head. I want you to spend a few minutes, a minute. It'll seem like eternity. 1 minute in prayer, silent prayer. Just say, Lord, if abiding in you means obeying you, then please show me if I am presently disobeying you in some area of my life. If he reveals something to you, confess it. Father, we want to be obedient. And yet there's often a struggle within us. The old man rises up. That rebellious portion of our souls creep in, and we give in. And we disobey you. Please forgive us. Give us the strength to be obedient. Lord, we confess our areas of disobedience. And I pray that you would help us see the joy that is held before us for those who would obey. Give us the ability to repent of our sins, to turn away, and to cling to you, holding out your promise of blessing before us, so that we would walk in a way that is blessed and is filled with obedience, which then results in our prayers being effective, which then leads to answers and an incredible fullness of joy that you hold out for us as we experience you at work through our prayer life. God, let every one of us respond to you this year. Move our hearts to fervent prayer. Remove from us any clinging to anything that is unrighteous, anything that is unholy, any sin that we're going to get our joy met and we're not running to you. God, help us to turn away from those things and turn completely to you. Please pour out your Spirit on us that we would be a faithful, obedient people that abide in your commands and abide in your love and abide in your word. Fill our minds this year. Give us this mental energy to begin to embrace memorization. Just one verse, just to start. And then I pray you would sustain us through it. So Lord, we ask for you to please come and do all of these things. And may our hearts be filled with the joy in Jesus through faith and knowing that you intend to keep your promises. I thank you for these words. Let it take root and bear fruit in our hearts. Through Christ I pray. Amen.